broadcasting live from the Sinalation State Studio in Northern California, home of Ukulele J Barbecue. Get your wood fired up and your charcoal burning as we get our smoke on with the worldwide streaming from Pluckin' Good Live.
Smoke on, baby. Sunday the 28th. We got it going on. George Earl's barbecue sauces in the house. Gonna have a lot of fun today. We're not gonna talk about sauces as the only topic. Talk about car racing. That's right. Car racing, smashing derbies. Thanks for joining us. We are live and we are going down and we are gonna be talking some barbecue sauce today. With Jeremy Dunn. He is the man behind George Earl's barbecue sauce. Incredible story. We're going to talk about Georgia Earl, who Georgia Earl is, for those that don't know, about the family background. Really incredible what he's doing as well. We'll talk about some work he's doing with some nonprofits, some barbecue stuff recently. And then we're going to talk about some of the fun stuff he does in the background. So it's great, you know, knowing people, who they are, and getting to learn them. And I've known Jeremy for a while now. Great guy. Obviously, one of the sponsors for Ukulele J Barbecue, Strum Plug and Good Live, and from up to come and tour, people will be taking tasting all that good sauce. And talking about sponsors today, we are sponsored by some incredible sponsors. We got Dr. Bill's Candy Maple Syrup, which, by the way, I heard is going to be available real soon. Just had a batch done, so I know a lot of people have been asking about it. I promise I will let you know, but I think it's going to sell out fast again. It just happens. And I'm sorry. It's so good, but you know, you got to get your hands on this stuff. Dat Sauce and Dat Ketchup, incredible stuff. Naughty Wood Barbecue, absolutely fantastic. Almond and Plum Pellets, great sponsor. I got a new rub that I can talk about and just say that I've been trying. It's fantastic. The honey has been out. They got some other new things coming out that I can't say, but man, you got to watch the show. We got a lot of good stuff happening. Ocean State Pepper Company, fantastic rubs and seasonings. Of course, Georgia Earl's Barbecue Sauce, absolutely amazing. We did a taste test we're going to talk about as well yesterday with the family, and I kept my mouth zipped and just let them taste the stuff. And we had four different sauces, two racks of ribs, two ways. We'll talk about that. Billy's Bacon, Fairhope, Alabama, number one bacon in the U.S. MSN.com did an article on him. Always in the top bacon listings across the U.S. If you don't get Billy's Bacon, I'm telling you, you've never tried anything. My folks are addicted. My friends are addicted. They're ordering Billy's, and it is amazing stuff. Best hickory smoked bacon ever. Voodoo Roasters Coffee, incredible coffee. It is roasted to order. Brawla's Garlic Whip, my newest sponsor, which is amazing. Used it on the ribs yesterday. And the meat stick, which I use for my temperatures. So thanks to all the sponsors for that. And today, without further ado, I've got Jeremy Dunn on from George Earl's Barbecue Sauce. Jeremy, you're live with everybody. Thanks for coming to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jay. Appreciate it.
How's everything going today up in sunny Maryland? Is it sunny up there?
So it's raining today. Yeah. So yesterday it was like 77 degrees. So I think we're, out of this northeast weather we typically have, and, halfway decent, but a little rainy today. So I'll take it. I got my shorts and flip flops. So I'm not worried.
I won't stand up. I'm always in shorts and flip flops. My wife hates it because whenever we go to my in-laws, you know, she looks at me and she's like, are you going to wear that? And it's like, I'm wearing it. Right. So yeah, I guess I'm wearing that. And then, of course, you know, if it's something really nice, then I get forced to put some pants on, which I hate wearing pants. But I think we're kind of alike, right? We talked about that.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I think
the barbecue communities, we're pantless guys, right? I mean, we're shorts, but no pants.
That's right.
What? Oh, tell me what's going on with George Earl's. I know that, you had the George Earl's barbecue sauce for a while, and we'll get into some hopefully new stuff you're doing you can talk a little bit about without revealing all the secrets. But I want to know about Georgia Earl's because, you know, one of the things that caught me very early on was the photograph, the picture of the label. And a lot of people have, you know, different graphic arts and stuff. And this looked like, you know, it was like, oh, that looks like somebody's grandmother, which in that case, I believe was your great grandmother. And there's an incredible story on your website. So if people, you know, we won't get into all that, of course, because there's so much information you have on there, but they should go to your website because it's really cool. Your family photos, I mean, old photos you as a kid. So tell me about her and what kind of led up to you deciding that you were going to take this sauce to the market.
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, Georgia Earl, obviously that was my great grandmother. So it was my grandmother's mother. So my father, You know, my grandmother, my great grandmother, you know, she was the one that actually originated the recipe. So I just remember, you know, growing up, you know, every time we'd head out west, that's where she was. You know, she'd make pork chops or chicken or whatever. You know, we grew up on the sauce. So, you know, eventually after she passed some years, you know, as we got older, you know, it was handed down to my grandmother. So she would do the same thing, you know, and she was out in Thousand Oaks, California. So we'd spend every summer out in Thousand Oaks and, you know, just, again, join the pool, join the sauce. And, you know, it was always part of my heritage, I guess, my life, you know. And, you know, fast forward to where we are today, right? I got a successful marketing company. And, you know, it's kind of my passion, advertising, marketing, everything around those aspects. And I thought, you know, what a great way to teach my two kids who are 13 and 11 about product development, marketing, branding, you know, starting from scratch, right? Like, I knew nothing about barbecue sauce, right? You know, cook on the grill all the time, but, you know, just rolled up my sleeves. We dove right in together and, you know, here we are.
So, you know, with that being said, one of the things I've noticed with a lot of barbecue sauce companies is the big thing is obviously natural ingredients, right? But I notice a lot of people, they kind of sneak some stuff in like liquid smoke and things like that, that, you know, I don't think you use in your sauce. And, you know, there's also like preservatives, because a lot of sauces will say like you have to refrigerate after opening. And is there a reason that most sauces you have to refrigerate? Like, do you have to refrigerate your sauce after opening? I know there's rules that technically yes, but, you know, some people have said, yes, I have to say it, but no, if it's on the counter for a day or two, like, you're cool. It's not gonna get you sick. It's not gonna have a problem. Is that what Georgia Rolls is like as far as refrigeration, and why do most of them say that it has to be refrigerated?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, like, I love sauce. Like, I'm a sauce guy. I mean, my refrigerator is full of different sauces. The majority of which you have to refrigerate because of the ingredients. So Georgia Rolls in particular, we use a total of 12 ingredients. So although our sauce label says, you know, keep refrigerator after opening, it's really just a safety precaution. There's actually nothing in our bottle that, you know, can hurt you. Like, we've never refrigerated it growing up. You know, it was always in the cupboard. It was never in the refrigerator. You know, my co-packers, they recommended I put that on there just in case. But, you know, so I'm kind of a numbers guy and kind of an ingredients guy also. Like, for example, like Sweet Baby Ray's, right? A great sauce. My kids love it. You know, we're obviously not in that category because it's so super cheap. It's pretty much everywhere. But a lot of guys like it because of the cost. It has a pretty decent flavor. But their number one ingredient is high fructose corn syrup. If you look at a lot of the sauces, they use things like ketchup, which is perfectly fine. I mean, that's all pretty much, you know, tomato puree or tomato paste. But, you know, ketchup in particular, you know, you're supposed to kind of keep that refrigerated and stuff. But, yeah, a lot of sauces will use various ingredients and, some of which you have to keep refrigerated.
Yeah, so I think you're back. You locked up for a second. So with the refrigeration not necessarily being a requirement, that's what I like. I don't have yours. I have it on the counter because I use it all the time. So yep. It's not in the fridge. And, you know, I haven't noticed it, you know, getting caked up or thick. Some of these sauces I've noticed, like, if they sit out and top your bottle, it, like, blocks it up and it gets really hard. And I haven't had that happen, which is nice. So, you know, one of the things that I know some of my followers have talked about, because they're into wanting to make sauce or release sauces, and I think there's somebody on watch today that actually has a sauce that he's been making. What is involved with making a sauce as far as getting it into the bottle, you know, in your kitchen when you start, and then, of course, how do you find and get a co-packer, which is what people have been using, and what's involved with that as far as the labeling process and nutritional ingredients, and, you know, what have you had to go through for that?
Yeah, so exactly, right? So we first started out, like, you know, we'd make it in kind of gallon increments right there in the kitchen, which, you know, pretty much every time it would kind of taste a little bit different, or the viscosity would be a little bit different. But always it would be, you know, similar in nature. So when you're doing it in your kitchen and you're scaling up to, you know, we do it now in 75-gallon increments, the process and science behind it is, you know, a little bit out of my ballpark. So that's kind of one of the reasons we chose to go with a co-packer. And we chose a co-packer. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. So if you're familiar with Baltimore, Maryland, where it's at on the map, North Carolina is two states below us. So you got to pass through Virginia and then you get to North Carolina. So I chose a co-packer out in North Carolina. The drive isn't terrible. It's probably about, you know, 5 hours from my house, you know, 10-hour round trip. You know, but the co-packer, you know, they kind of hold your hand through the whole process. I reached out to a co-packer, and he was like, look, you know, we kind of specialize in you know, people doing, you know, 1,000 gallons, 2,000 gallons at a time. So they had referred me to a co-packer, and they pretty much held my hand through the whole process. Like, you know, the first step was perfecting the recipe that you want to bottle. You send them your process, your ingredients, the sample, and they try to do their best to match it. You know, they'll send it back and forth, or you can go down there. It just depends on how long it takes. But, you know, until you're happy with their final process, their final product, you know, they won't bottle, right? And then after that point, you know, they pretty much, you know, have all the notes as far as like, you know, was it McCormick pepper or was it Ocean Spray pepper, you know, whatever the case may be, because the peppers have different flavors, or the, you know, the tomato paste have different flavors. So once you do get to that level where you start scaling, you know, consistency is a big component, which you really don't get in your kitchen. A lot of people do it in their kitchen. Like, I go to a farmer's market and sell my sauce on Saturday mornings in Fells Point, which is on the water in Baltimore. And a lot of people, I mean, phenomenal, you know, sauces and marinades and, you know, everything's handmade, but, you know, you're not going to get it on the shelf. You know, at farmer's markets, you know, you can sell it all day long, but if your ultimate goal is to kind of share it with the world, if you will, you got to kind of, you know, take the right steps, you know, go, you know, do your process letter of authority, get your nutritional values, you know, from a scientist at the university, and, you know, get your UPC codes from, you know, the global database there. And so, yeah, we tried to take the right steps. When we first started, I think we missed one step, which might cost me, I mean, I was going to sell at the farmer's market anyway, but we forgot to get the UPC, you know, which is what you need for the shelves. So I just ended up selling all those. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And that's kind of an industry, or worldwide code.
Yeah. So, you know, I was talking to some people, and you mentioned, it's interesting you talk about if you want to get it out there to the world on the shelves. And I noticed some, you know, pretty big names in the barbecue world that we know, and they're in some shops, but, you know, talking to these guys, it's interesting what's going on, especially with COVID, and, you know, getting placement in the store, having to pay marketing fees that really aren't marketing fees, it's fees that go to the grocers. I mean, I've learned kind of a lot about this this business and in the back end, what really happens. And of course, some of the big grocers, if they watch us, will probably hate me, but, you know, that's kind of how it works. And, you know, it's about them making money and getting as much out of you as they can. And that's why, you know, I like supporting a small business like you, where, you know, we buy online. I try not to go to Amazon for a bunch of reasons. I mean, I buy a lot on Amazon. I have no choice, but, you know, when it comes to some stuff, I wanted to get another sauce, you know, to try. It's more of like for, you know, salsa sauces and things like hot sauces. And I found a site that sold it. They were local in Arizona. I went through them instead of Amazon. It was like a dollar more, big deal. But, you know, same shipping and everything. So I went there directly because I know that they're going to make, you know, they're going to make money and hopefully stay in business, because, you know, people that like products, everybody wants discount codes. Everybody wants it for free, right? It's like, well, then they're not going to be around. And so then they go away and you lose out on a good thing. So I know the grocery business is very tough to get in the store, especially like, you know, Costco, things like that. I mean, my wife and I, we invented a product and it did very well in the winery business. But when we tried to get it into like Bed Bath & Beyond and that stuff, they were just grinding us on price. It's like, no, it has to be this much. You're like, well, that's what it costs to make it. We don't care if it's not this much, we're not going to carry it. It's like they're dictating you a price that they have no idea what it costs to make things. So, you know, I know you went on Amazon and you sold out. I was really excited that first week that you did it. How are things going on Amazon? Is that kind of an ongoing thing just to have out there? Is that something you plan on hopefully ramping up, or what's the story with that?
Yeah. So as a marketing guy, right? Like, you know, my vision was kind of get it in as many outlets as possible. So Amazon being one of them, obviously a global marketplace, you know, kind of opening the sauce up to the world. At the same aspect, like, you don't really want to push it, right? Like, I had to move my price up on Amazon a dollar just to make 50 cents. So, I mean, Amazon is, if you want to make money, it's all about distribution and volume. So like my objective on Amazon wasn't like to make money, but it was to have an outlet. So it's great to be there because, you know, you could do a search and anybody anywhere in the world can purchase a bottle, which is great. And that's really all I did it for, was the convenience of the end user, which is, you know, people that might want to have easy access to my, you know, barbecue sauce, which, by the way, I got to put some more up there. I just noticed like there was like four left or something. So I'll ship them, you know, cases periodically, but the margin then it is so razor thin unless you're doing like major volume. Same thing with like the grocery stores. grocery stores, your margins are so razor thin. So, you really got to get the volume of distribution, which that's the hard part, right? If, especially with guys like me, right? It's just me and my kids aren't quite at the age where they can start making phone calls and talking to people like that yet. Although we'll try it, right? We'll put them on the phone. Why not? But, it takes time and energy and effort. So, you got to develop teams and that kind of thing.
So, the industry sauces and rubs, to me, it's so saturated. I mean, it's like every day or every week you turn the corner, there's another sauce out there on Instagram, another rub. And, it was interesting because when we talked, it's like, yeah, you're not doing this office to get rich. If you make money, great. And it sounds like if you don't, it's okay because it's a passion. You like doing it. I think that's really cool because a lot of people aren't in that position. They're out there trying to make a living with a product. And of course, unless you have a line of, 10 or 12 things, it's very hard to get people interested in, one thing because there's a million people with one sauce. What's your vision for the company for obviously you're in the marketing field. That obviously is the bread and butter business and George Ills hopefully is going to keep taking off. I know you got some other things going on. Maybe you can tell us about it. I'd like to tell, the viewers as much as you can what's happened. I know you got some new stuff. I think it's kind of interesting. You're going to do a couple things. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that without obviously giving away. But what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. All good. Yeah. So my vision, with Georgia Earls in particular, right, was kind of a slow growth process. I wanted to focus more on the brand itself than the actual, sauces per se. Like you said, right, it's such a competitive space. And I think that's just a testimony to people's craving of food and flavor, right? They want to try new things. They're open to new things, but eventually they just kind of keep falling back on what gets kind of put in front of them on the shelves, right? Like Sweet Baby Ray's, it takes up, five or six spots per, shelf. But yeah, at the end of the day, we wanted to kind of build a brand, that I think that's what's most important, what separates you from everybody else. The story, right, the history. So when we first, rolled this out, our intention was to roll out my great grandmother's original recipe, right? So, which is a very distinct taste. I've only tasted one sauce out there that was close to it, but everything else is, pretty different. So that was my goal, right? Year into it, start R&D on a couple new flavors, which I'm proud to say we're finally done. So we're about 4 to 6 weeks away from bottling, but we're gonna have a sweet sauce. The inspiration behind the sweet sauce was Southern dessert. My great grandmother, for those of you who haven't read the story, she was from Tennessee. So I wanted to kind of, do something sweet, honor the South. So I went with a apricot cobbler for my sweet, and we're going to do a spicy, which, from a marketing and branding perspective, like I was thinking about naming it like kind of apple pie moonshine to also honor the South. But, the same aspect that kind of wasn't what Georgia Earl, my great grandmother maybe would have wanted. So we're going to tone it down a notch and go with the apple chipotle, which will be more of the spicy. So it'll have a nice bite. It won't linger, so you can still enjoy your food and kind of, get that bite. But yeah, we wanted to kind of piggyback with the original flavor, with the sweet and then with the spicy. And then on top of that, we'll have two rubs as well, which will also have some kind of, story and kind of what they're about. And but same brand, Georgia Earls. Yeah.
Wow. So you're going to hit the rub market too. I love it. You have sauces and rubs. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Just to have some fun,
That's great. You can do that. That's what I'm doing. I'm having fun. And that's what I love about this is it doesn't matter what happens along the journey. It's the journey that I'm enjoying. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
And I was biting my tongue because people asked me like, oh, Georgia Earls, what does he have anything else coming out? And it's like, I can't really tell you. Now it's out. You actually said that you said,
yeah, it's
what it
out.
Is,
yeah. So. It's official. Yeah. So I've been frantically, because going to like the label process, right? You got to get the label from your label designer. They kind of ship it to where it gets bottled. So right now we're kind of going back and forth with my graphic design team. Kind of, I got to fix the original label as well because now we'll have some additional flavors and try to, eliminate confusion on the shelves and kind of easily distinguish between the three. Right. So we're trying to beat the university to the plant with the labels. So we're hoping we can pull that off.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, oh my God, that peach cobbler. Oh my God. That is going to be apricot. Oh,
yeah,
I mean, apricot cobbler. Yeah, I say peach.
Yeah, so you know, everything. You know, and I'm kind of OCD. Like I'm, you know, that's the hard part, right? Like when you're cooking sauce and doing things in your kitchen, like, you know, at least I don't really take notes. Like, hey, a little bit of this, or it needs a little more of that. You know, whatever it is, spaghetti sauce, barbecue sauce. I know a lot of guys that will do some really crazy sauces, like some peach smokes sauce. You know, and that's really hard and difficult to to convert to scale. I think there's a guy out of New York. I've been seeing a lot of him on Instagram. Looks like he does a really fresh type batch of all fresh and natural ingredients, and you know, he sells out pretty quick as well.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you have a good sauce, people buy it once the word gets out. And you know, I've been using George Earl's for quite a while now, and we love it. And yesterday, I wanted to do a taste test. The family came over, had a couple racks of ribs that I was gonna just cook and you know do different flavors and try them. My wife said, you know, we're never gonna eat two racks of ribs. And so I said, well, you know, whatever. So we had the family over, and you know, and folks came over, and my wife was there, and I was out cooking. Most of the day on my PK, and I usually cook on my Yoder YS640 for long cooks, so I can just not worry about it, you know, kind of set it and forget it. But I decided I want to use some pecan chunk wood today, and I'd used up some lump charcoal, fired it up, and oh, it was looking great. And then I realized, oh crap, I was going to go visit a guy, another barbecue on Instagram, and he wasn't too far. He did it live, and I wanted to surprise him. He didn't know I was going to show up, so I left, and I thought, oh, I can't leave because my wife's not going to know what to do with the charcoal if something happens or the wood. So I got my smoking done. I got the smoke on there. It was cooking for 2.5 hours. So then what I did is I moved it over to my Yoder, fired it up at 225, and then I was able to leave, which was great. Wrapped them up, threw them on there, and I didn't have to worry, and I could watch it, you know, from my phone, which was really cool. But, you know, I was looking at your Instagram site, and, you know, I was deciding, you know, there's some other sauces that I've had and I tried. And I think, you know, one of my questions was, before you had Georgia Earl's, are there any sauces, big sauces that you liked? Because I want to talk about this contest. It was really, this little taste test we did. It was very interesting and talk about it. But I'm curious, is there any sauces you tried or like besides obviously making your own?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a big fan. Like, I personally like Rufus Teague. He makes a good, like, you know, like a good sweet, you know, touch of honey one. So I like some Rufus Teague. I'm trying to think what my other go-to sauces. I mean, we'll keep Sweet Baby Ray's, but honestly, the kids don't even eat that anymore. They eat a lot of Georgia Earl's, you know, with their meats and stuff, that for dipping, or, you know, which is cool. Like, I don't force them to pick a sauce. And literally, if you see my refrigerator, I take up maybe 3 racks with different sauces. Anytime I see something different, I grab it. But I like Rufus Teague. Traeger makes a sweet one as well. Okay. I like theirs. I think even I'm just trying to think, and you know, some of the artisanal ones I just pick up here and there.
And you're a Traeger guy, right? You have a Traeger. You smoke on your Traeger.
I have a Traeger. Yeah.
Yeah. And
so sometimes I laugh at for that, but you know, it does a great job. And like you said, like, I could be running and gunning, doing my thing. You know, although this is a career and a job in itself, but you know, I have obviously a marketing business I run. Mm-hmm. So when I'm running and gunning and that, just makes it so super simple to kind of, you know, manage your cooks. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of pellet poopers out there, but you know, I use everything. I say it's the cook behind the, you know, behind the cooker, not
that's
the
right.
cooker.
But I did get a Smoky Mountain. I got to season it. I just haven't had time to season it. So
you got a Weber Smoky Mountain?
I'm diving right in. Yep.
Oh, that's pretty popular. A lot of guys have those. I was looking at a barrel smoker versus Weber Smoky Mountain. It's like, you know, I'm just kind of torn what to get. I really want to get a vault smoker, and I think that if I get the vault, I'm not going to need a barrel. And you only have so much room.
There's so many great ones out there. It's hard to choose.
There's a lot. There's a ton. But we did the taste test, and so I had 4 different sauces. I got a thing that I've never used before, which was it's like Pepper Jelly Company rib mm-hmm. candy. So I got that. It was like an apple. I think it was apple habanero, something like that. Apple cherry something. So I got that. We had Georgia Earl's. We had another sauce, Big Mama sauce. She had a bourbon. Maple bourbon and a sweet and spicy kind of sauce. So what I did is I took 2 racks, and on each half I put the sauces, but you know, nobody knew. And then we marked a little cheat sheet so I know what people are getting. And they sat across the table, so they didn't really see this. So we had people taste, and then we said, okay, what's your favorite? And you know, I didn't say, oh yeah, this is the best, and go with this one. And it was unanimous. It was amazing. They all went for the Georgia Earl's. So you got number 1 out of 4 on that, and that's honest to God truth. And then the next two were Big Mamas, and they liked that. But your sauce, like, it wasn't even like a little close. Your sauce really stood out. I mean, it was people, and again, it's that distinct flavor. I told you, I call it the neutral sauce, right? You've heard me say it. Other people say it. It's a good neutral barbecue sauce. It's not swinging super sweet. It's not swinging spicy. It's got that little vinegar hit right in there. It's just delicious. So anyways, unanimous family was Georgia Earl. Awesome. So I was proud about it. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, so very, yeah, no, it's so cool to hear stuff like that. Like, you know, people come up to me and I had a guy call me. I mean, this was like Saturday night at like midnight. I hear my phone ring. Of course, I'm gone, right? And I was going to return the call in the morning. And he calls me about 8:30. He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I found you, you know. And evidently, him and his wife had come down to Baltimore from New York on their anniversary, picked up a bottle of sauce from the farmer's market. His wife loved it so much, he threw out the bottle, which had my contact information on it. So I guess they've been searching for like, you know, 3 or 4 months or whatever. But, right. You know, so he had found me, placed the order, but he wanted to order more bottles. So he's trying to figure out how to correct his order. I just say, hey, look, I'm throwing a couple bottles and I shipped him a gallon as well because he loved it. You know, he's a preacher. I say, yeah, sure. You know, have fun with it. That's what I'm here for. And when, you know, when I'm ready to start making some real money, right? Yeah. Then you can make full purchases. But
that's,
yeah, I just,
right.
You know, I love hearing stories and having fun. It just, you know, that's what you do this for.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I'm gonna go over to Instagram and show the viewers that it's kind of funny. You obviously like rubs, and somebody posted some rubs with your sauce, which was great. And so what I'm bringing up now is a picture by, do you know Big Cypress Barbecue?
He posted Steve, actually. Yeah, he's out in Florida. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he posted the one with Neil Surratt. He's got the rubs for there. The Botchins, which, of course, a lot of us in the community, I mean, my wife and I, we love that Botchins. I mean, it's just like, it's addicting. You know, the Japanese, they call it Japanese barbecue sauce. And then, of course, Georgia Earl's right there, you know, right in front. And it's funny because Neil's actually in a Pitmaster chat that I'm in on Thursday nights. And I just have, I think I have like 7 or 8 of his rubs coming, you know, he's got a new one coming out. So I thought it was kind of cool that it's a small world, but it's a big world. And so all these people I'm knowing and so cool are coming together. And the fact that I saw, you know, Neil Botchins, you know, your sauce all in one shot was just, it was really cool. I really liked it. So.
Oh yeah. I love seeing, you know, I try to repost, you know, everybody's image that they kind of send me or tag me just because I think it's so cool. Like you said, you know, to see, you know, that sauce, you know, next to Botchins or, you know, his rubs, you know, the flavor combination, just stuff I never would have imagined. So, you know, it kind of inspires me to, you know, make better, you know, dinners at the house or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things though today that's kind of a surprise is interesting is, you know, we're talking sauce, but you do something else on the side as a hobby. Why don't you tell us what that has to do with cars? And I think it's number two.
Yeah. So Demolition Derby. So I started to kind of integrate it a little bit. I'm actually sponsoring our race team, which really just consists of a bunch of guys that go out and do these things every, four times a year or however often they have them, but just having lots of fun. I figured, man, what a great community to introduce, you know, kind of the barbecue community to. Just they kind of one in the same, just a special group of people having lots of fun, like, you know, no kind of hatred, everybody kind of bringing each other back, you know, and pulling each other up. So just really cool community. But yeah, so do a little demolition car derby, a little race car, you know, 4 or 5 times a month or a year. Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to bring up some video that the viewers are going to see and they should hear. I got some video of you. I got the car race and I have the derby. So first I'm going to bring up the car race. And it's clear, Jeremy, that you only race 4 or 5 times a year. Let's just say that. So
that's right. So I didn't say I was good.
That's exactly. So I'm going to bring up the car race. Here we go. We're getting ready to start. And you probably won't hear this, but the guests will. And we'll take a look here at what's going on. So we're lined up. And this is actually the driver's seat camera that you're in. And you're in your car behind the white vehicle in front of you. And they're going to count down and get going here. So I'm going to forward off. And what I thought was great is that you guys didn't even make the first turn without crashing.
Yeah, that's pretty where all the excitement is. That first turn is just like, you know, I mean, whoever makes it out of that, you know, you might, you know, finish the race. But
I mean, you know, if you don't make it straight, you spun out like the first turn you spun out. Here you are, you're driving around, going backwards, you finally get it going. And you know what was cool is I think you were in last place, right? Everybody else was ahead of you. So I'm like, come on, Jeremy, catch up. And so
that was embarrassing.
I pretend like I was the racer.
I mean, everybody was there, all my friends, my family. I'm like, oh my God. So that guy pit maneuvered me.
You know, like pit maneuver, and you know, here's Jeremy, turn number two. He needs number two. Oh, he almost hits the tire. He almost hits the tire. And then you got dirty. You know, I like that. You got dirty, and we're coming up here. You came up to a guy, was like in turn number five, and all of a sudden, here we go. Boom, you clip the back end of his car. And if that's not enough, you're like, yeah, get out of my way, screw you. Boom, you just ran right into his back again. You just kept hitting these guys. And I guess there's no rules of this stuff. You can just cream people off the road, right?
Yeah, so there are some rules, but, you know, they let's just say they're not – I mean, they're enforced unless you do something with malice intent, like driver-side door hits are frowned upon.
Right. I mean, this is so cool. I watched this like 5-6 times. I just loved it. It was a great shot. And, you know, it looked like a lot of fun for the racing. I mean, there's car parts all over the track. I see bumpers you're passing by. I mean, it was really, really kind of a cool time. And, you know, how does that work? I mean, you just buy some, like, old jalopy, fix it up, and take it out. And if it just gets destroyed, you buy another one? Like, how does that work? It seems like it'd be expensive going through cars like that.
Yeah, so it does get a little expensive. I mean, these cars obviously aren't roadworthy, so you're not going to spend an arm and leg on them. But I have a buddy that owns a tow company. A lot of times they'll get, you know, kind of junk cars, just get it off my, you know, property. You know, okay, I'll give you $300 for it. So, you know, give you an idea, I got a 2006 Honda Accord V6 Coupe. I paid like $250 for. But to your point, right, like, you know, these cars, like, I don't even want to mess with them when I'm done with them. So I just donate them. So I say, I find a guy or say, hey, you know, when this is done, it's all yours because I'm not taking it home. I'm not dealing with it. You know, so they're super appreciative because they try to fix them up or they'll take parts off them or do whatever they do. But I usually don't like to bring them home in my driveway after I'm done with them.
Why not? That'd be fun for your neighbors. Just like tow it out, put it on the front lawn. You know, it's like, just leave it out.
Yeah, well, I should take that back. I always got one out there. Like, I got my next one out there all the time, like ready. Okay.
So when you donate it, it's like, hey, here's another jalopy that I've thrashed for here. You can have this one.
Oh, this community, I mean, you know, if you look up like just good old boy country fun, just everybody having a good time, you know, kids and adults and just no drama, like, you know, guys showing up and like, you know, I'm talking rigs with multitude of cars on them. So Somebody's got room somewhere to take your car.
Well, the next thing I have, though, I'm going to bring up is the Smash Derby. This one, I was laughing because I don't know if you were trying to be smashing or running, either one. So I want to bring this up real quick here, and we're going to get this one started. And we're picturing you, I think, in number two car. All you're doing is driving backwards. It's like, you know, and then it's so funny because, you know, here's Jeremy. You guys can see him. He's number two car. He's just going backwards, like away from everybody. Like, I'm getting out of here. You're just going backwards. And all of a sudden, like out of the blue, man, you just got creamed. These two cars came into you and just mashed you up. Did you like feel the impact of that when you get jolted?
Yeah, so you do feel the impact. So that was a night race. So my car, you know, I raced it in a regular race earlier in the day, and something happened. It wouldn't go in drive anymore. So like I had to keep putting it in reverse to make it go in drive. So, you know, I was struggling with that car trying to get it to move. but yeah, so you know, I was trying to do my best just to kind of not have somebody hit me. Like that was my strategy. Okay, if I don't get hit, I could kind of figure out how to keep this thing moving to win. But yeah, those guys kind of took me out at the end. You crushed my car up. So luckily it was more back end. They kind of finished me.
You got beat up bad.
Oh yeah.
Do you wear like the Hurst collar, the collars, and do they make you make all that stuff?
You know, you should. There are guys, I mean, obviously you gotta have a helmet, seatbelt. Right. You know, that's kind of the requirement. Some guys have full, roll cages and stuff. Like, you know, I just get in there, hope for the best. In fact, I think the race that my car didn't finish, the seatbelt actually didn't work. So I was like, it wouldn't snap into place. So I was like, I was like, what do I do? I was like, well, I guess I can't get too hurt. But so then like there was one like in the, you know, in the passenger seat that was, you know, that worked. So I just kind of tied it around that one, plugged it in, and, you know, had something. But yeah, you know, there's not too many rules, I guess, in these things, but there are some rules. Yeah.
That's great. So you do that, what, 4 or 5 times a year, you said, for both of those?
Yeah. So COVID derailed the season last year. So I was only, you know, obviously they weren't having large gatherings, and these events get pretty big, at least at the one that we race at. So we did one last year, but typically, you know, they'll be four times a year, starting in spring, usually lasting through November.
Great. So what's the next car in your driveway that you have? park
there. Yeah, so it's a 2006 Honda 6V or a Honda 2006 V6 coupe. It's going to be my race car. I think this thing is going to be wild to drive. I think it's going to do well. It doesn't have a hood on it right now, so they changed the rules. My buddy's like, hey, do you see the rules? We need to find a hood for it. So they're going to come over and try to put something together for me as far as a hood that so I can meet the qualifications to race it.
You know, it'd be awesome. Just cover it with tinfoil.
That's a good. So yeah, you can. Like,
can
I mean,
really?
People paint these cars. So the number two car was an emoji night. Like, right. Everybody gets into it. Like, they paint their car certain emojis or whatever the theme is. They had superhero night. There was like Captain America car. I mean, people go crazy with these cars, which is really cool to see. And that's kind of makes it fun, you know, for family.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, you know, I really appreciate everything you're doing, and you got great sauce. And what I want to do is we're going to hop on live on Instagram so we can have some people hopefully pop on, brings people on to chat. And I just want to say I wish you best of luck. I can't wait for the apricot pot cobbler.
That's right. Yeah, apricot cobbler and the apple chipotle. We haven't come up with a name yet. I mean, obviously, we have all the ingredients and nutritional. Nutritional for rubs are a little bit different process than they are the sauces. You can actually do those sometimes in-house, which is good. So we've got all that down to a science, just working on the labels. I'll come up with something fun, I think, as far as the names for the two rubs.
So are you working with co-packer for the rubs, or is that going to be done at the house first?
Yeah, so we're going to work with a co-packer there as well, mainly logistically, like, you know, in time. It's just so difficult, you know, especially if you want to produce, you know, like I'll do – you know, what I learned is I can carry myself. I have a 2017 Nissan Pathfinder, and that thing will fit exactly 75 gallons worth of bottles in my car. So in other words, like it's like 600 pounds, 700 pounds of sauce, you know, counting the bottle weight, and that thing will just weigh your car down. But, you know, I can't do much more than that at a time. I mean, I could truck it, but you know, you incur different costs, and I like to be part of the process. I like to be there when it's being bottled and we load it up into my car, and you know, do a lot of thinking on the roads there and back, which is where I do my best.
So for the sauce and everything, you do take the ingredients yourself and drive it down to them?
No. So everything they have in house. So all the ingredients are there. The only thing I do is like, I drive down there for like the bottling and that final kind of procedure. And then I like to load it up in the back of my car and then kind of truck it home myself.
So that brings a good point is, so they have, you say they have everything there, but is that everything their stuff and you have a pick list, or because what if you have proprietary stuff that's not stuff they have to do?
Right. Yeah. So they can get it. Yeah. So okay. If they have theirs, which obviously, you know, maybe you'll get some cheaper cost with stuff that they have, you know, in stock and, you know, at their ready. If it's some specialized stuff, I mean, you know, they can get it. They can, you know, if you tell them, you know, like for example, you know, McCormick, you know, pepper, you know, this, you know, lot number, like they can get whatever you want. It's just a matter of price, right? Then your price starts to kind of go up from there.
So is there a minimum they'll do? Can anybody go there? Or do you have to really like go in pretty heavy to start for them to take you on and want to do your stuff?
Yeah. So there's a, you know, obviously commercial kitchens, you know, where you're kind of doing it yourself. The co-packer I have really kind of caters to a guy like me. So they do it in 75-gallon increments for a sauce. And, you know, obviously mine, I could probably get, dependent upon waste and whatnot, like, you know, 650 bottles out of 75 gallons, maybe a little bit less. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I was curious about that because a lot of the people in the rub business are, you know, they start out their kitchen, and I even saw somebody has one of those big barrels in their house to mix. They put it in, they mix it all together, you know, for the rubs. So I didn't know if there was like a minimum buy-in where you have to, you know,
So with rubs, yeah, theirs is 100 pounds. I think different co-packers will have, you know, different limitations. For example, like the co-packer who I'm mutual friends with, the guy that owns it here in Maryland. I mean, they do, you know, things with McCormick, you know, with Domino Sugar. I mean, they do some major, major packing, like flash frozen foods you see in your grocers. Like, they got the capability to do everything. But they don't really cater to me, right? Like, hey, yeah, I want to run 75 gallons. All right, well, come see me when you're ready to do, you know, 2,000 gallons, or, you know, use our plant for 2 days. Like, you know, so the money, I mean, you know, we're not producing that much yet. You know, hopefully maybe one day we will be. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'm glad to hear you got a lot going on. You got the two new sauces in the works. And when do you plan to have the apricot cobbler coming out?
Yeah, we're thinking, you know, realistically, I'm just looking at the date here. We were hoping April 1st. It's probably going to be, you know, realistically another 4 weeks out. I was, you know, last week before it was like 4-6. So I'm anticipating probably like 4 weeks out. You know, as quick as we can get the, which we really don't know, like, unfortunately, when you send stuff to, we sent it to NC State University, you never know where you're at. Like, have they gotten to it yet? Like, you know, we expedite, you can pay for expedition, but there's no telling how many other people, you know, have the same dream as me that also paid for expedition.
Oh, so you can pay for expedition and jump people?
You can, but the problem is everybody can pay for expedition. So it just really depends on, like, you know, how many people did that. And it speeds up the process quite a bit.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. I think you know, you've answered a lot of great questions today about you know, the sauce, the rubs coming out, and I know that your stuff's going to be fantastic. And, of course, if the cobbler is anything like George Earl's standard, it's going to be a huge hit. I can't wait to get it on my food. And we'll hopefully hop over now to IG Live, and I know you got 2 o'clock, so we're going to break off a little bit here, go on there, and we'll have people pop on if they have any questions to ask, and then we'll be in touch, and we'll be sending out those announcements as soon as that new sauce hits the market.
Awesome. Love it.
All right.
Well, pleasure, Jay. I guess I'll see you over there in live.
Absolutely. I love it. You always join us. Big supporter. And just to let everybody know that we're going to have on April 11th, which will be the next show, we're going to have Chef Gasson Nelson. He is a great guy, a big chef down in New Orleans. He's kind of, I call the chef to the stars, personal stars, cooked for the Kardashians, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And he is a chef for a lot of NFL players, so he's going to be on the show. And for those of you that watched today, hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to have a lot of new things on. If you have any suggestions, send me a note. You can DM me on Instagram, at UkulelejBarbecue, and we'll be doing some more lives throughout the year. We've got other great people lined up. We're going to have Maddie and Kiki on. We're going to have Scalen Taylor, a lot of people from Instagram that will be on the show as well. Really excited. Great support. Love the barbecue community. So thanks for watching today. And remember, when you get done, we'll be here for you all the time on IG Live and on our show, Strum Plunkett Live. Have a great Sunday, everybody. Smoke on, baby.